Church unity. Never in our nation's history has the need for church unity been more vital. Our country is going to hell and the church has become fragmented, splintered and divided. One denomination says my way is right, another says my way is right, and still others say the same thing. The enemy of our soul has a mission, and that is to divide and conquer, and his evil plan is working like a charm. The church has become divided and our nation has followed suit. It's time to understand the truth of God's word and unify around that. It's time for church unity. F4:4-14, there is one body, and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and through all, and in you all, till we come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. This scripture shows us plainly that there is only one faith, one belief system if you will. There is only one way of believing, with one Lord and one God. This is how God has designed it, and unity of faith happens when we all come into agreement with it. All good Christians make up but one body, incorporated by one charter, one belief system, one faith, that of the gospel, which is overseen by one Spirit. If we belong to Christ, we are actuated by the same Spirit and belief system. There should only be one way of believing. This scripture makes clear the fact that unity of faith is the goal, which brings maturity, fullness of Christ, and keeps us from believing false doctrine, every wind of doctrine. If we look back on the last 200 years, we see many denominations spring up with contrary beliefs declaring to be Christianity. Christianity in America and across the world has become like an ice cream shop, with many different flavors, and though Christians may look differently, and sound differently, and have different missions that God has created them for, their beliefs must be the same. There is only one gospel. Period. The problem that we have with church unity is twofold. 1. We refuse to have unity with those churches whose doctrine we disagree with, and 2. We want to disregard the ungodly doctrines and just all hold hands and sing, Kumbaya my Lord, which is just emotional unity, not true spiritual unity. God's greatest desire is that His church would unify, and for us to walk in the fullness of Christ impacting the world. This will only happen if we change our false doctrines that we hold dear, and embrace the truth of God's word. In previous blogs I discussed Calvinism that the Baptists believe, that speaking in tongues today is not what happened at Pentecost or proof of spirit baptism, and lukewarm Christianity is truly ungodly living among others issues. These are all contrasting beliefs that do not line up with the word of God. I wrote those to show the errors that we have fallen prey to as God's church. We need one faith. The only way to begin to go forward with unity of faith as the goal is to embrace humility. The first step to unity is humility. Without humility there will be no meekness, no patience, no forbearance, there will be no unity. Pride and passion breaks the peace, while humility and meekness restore the peace and keeps it. By pride comes contentions, and by humility comes love. The more lowly-minded we can be, the more like-minded we become. Our scripture says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Unity of heart and affection is unity of spirit, no quarreling, despising or hating. Peace is a bond that unites, making people friendly. We must love and be friendly while at the same time preserve truth. Truth is the priority, the truth of God's word. So, it is with truth and peace, purity and holiness that we come to have unity of faith as believers. The church will not be perfected until we come in the unity of faith, till all true believers meet together by means of the same precious faith, knowledge of the Son of God. Until then we are all children, inconsistent in our judgments, weak in faith, being tossed to and fro with doctrines that have no truth in them, seduced and deceived with errors. Our scripture goes on to say that Christ is the head of the church. The disciples were in one accord, in unity. They had one faith, that is, the gospel containing the doctrines of Christ's faith. There was one faith, not many. This one faith produces one heart and one soul in all of us. Unity of faith is how God's church works. Humble people, bowing to God's principles and embracing those who do likewise. It's time to let our pride go and to stop defending something that is not right. I made it clear to see through scriptures by the understandings of the greatest theologian ever. Why fight it? Why not seek to understand it? Why? What do you have to lose? Do you want truth or not? This is where we become accountable before God, Pastor. This is where we wake up to the truth of God's word, and where we might have gone wrong, and how we can get back. Back to God's grace. Back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth and the life. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Romans 13:11-12. Knowing the times to be perilous, we need to awake, it's high time for that. We have been asleep to many destructive things, carnal security, negligence of the Great Commission, spiritual deadness, and the condition of our families and our nation. It's time to wake up. It's 1 PM and you're still in bed, so get up. It's time to believe in God. It's time to trust in God. Get out of bed and put your clothes on. It's time to speak faith. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. The fullness of time had come, the time appointed of the Father to end one disposition and set up another that was better in its place. After a certain amount of time had passed that allowed God's purposes to be fulfilled, God sent Jesus. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, and which are on earth. Ephesians 1:10. There is an exact time that God has determined. Things in heaven and earth will be gathered in Christ, and peace will be made. An innumerable company of angels will become one with the church. After a certain amount of time passes from Christ's death that allows God's purposes to be fulfilled, He will send Christ again and gather all that is His. Because of our rejection of God as a nation, and failure as His church, I believe the time of the Gentiles has come to an end. I believe that our nation will begin to experience horrific judgments over the next few years, culminating a few months before the 2024 election with nuclear devastation and perhaps Christ's return. Don't laugh. This is the urgency of the hour, and only a pure and unified church can stop it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:3. It's our job as part of the body to focus on unity. If half of a body wants to go one way and half wants to go another, the body won't go far or accomplish much. If you've ever seen the movie Airplane, you can't help but laugh when they tell the twins who are joined at the hip to go in different directions, hysterical in a movie but sad in a church or nation. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and so is a double-minded church. Consequently, when it comes to being part of God's body, unity plays a major role. One way we accomplish this is by focusing on what we have in common and considering what draws us together rather than what divides us. Many times, we focus on those insignificant things that divide us and not on the major things we have in common, such as the desire to spend eternity together, share the same Great Commission, and have the same Father in heaven. We would rather not have anything to do with each other because of social differences or spiritual disagreements about when the rapture will occur or something like that. Many times, we want to have unity only with those who look, think, and act as we do, but God wants us to have unity with all our brothers and sisters. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. Luke 11:7. Jesus wasn't just saying that as another great comeback to the Pharisees' ridiculous comment, it is a spiritual truth that also applies to the church or country. Suspicion ignites division. It is so easy to be suspicious of others, we automatically ask ourselves, what does this person want? We want to judge motives and critique actions as if we were perfect when of course we're not. God wants us to love our brothers and sisters and give them the benefit of the doubt. God wants us to have the mindset of this scripture. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Whatever happened to being innocent until proven guilty? We are brothers and sisters, we're not in competition with each other, and we don't need to have the attention as the Lord made clear in these two scriptures. Be ye all of one mind, have compassion for each another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. 1 Peter 3:8. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Philippians 2:3. God should be the one getting the attention. We should be glad when our brothers and sisters excel and pass right by us. That is what a body is like. My stomach loves my mouth, especially when it's eating something yummy. My back loves my hand when it's scratching an itch. My lungs love how my nose inhales oxygen. If people could only see the trouble they cause and the pain they inflict when they try to bring in strife and cause discord. He that passes by and meddles with strife is like one that takes a dog by the ears. Proverbs 26:17. What a great illustration. Imagine someone grabbing a dog's ears for no good reason. I'd feel bad for the poor, abused dog. And sometimes, the person perpetrating it gets bit. Being in unity is something we need to contend for. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:15 27 about how silly it is to think we don't need each other. Can the eye say to the hand, I have no need for you? We can all agree that's a silly statement because we need our hands and eyes. But in this real world, we really don't need each other. We have our lives and our families, we really don't need the people at the church we attend. Some feel that people can be so much work when listening to what they have to say that doesn't interest them in the least and in all the favors people need. Some could even say, yes, we could definitely do without the people at church. If you've ever thought like that, you understand the human side of life to some extent but not the spiritual side. The Bible is very clear about our need for each other. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Matthew 18:20. God is drawn to our coming together. The illustration that comes to me is that God is steel and our coming together is like a magnet. The greater the group gathering in His name, the stronger the force pulling God toward us. An unseen force draws God toward us when we gather, and that's exactly the way He designed it. We are spiritually stronger when we unite. The scriptures are full of examples, including Queen Esther, who was maybe a little hesitant to do what she should. I don't think she was, but some might, so Mordecai encouraged her. In Esther 4:14, we read, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Queen Esther replied along these lines, "Everyone, start fasting. I'm going in. It's against the law, so if I die, I die." Wow. What a woman. Two people came together, and God moved, they needed each other. Then there's Ruth, an amazing woman of God who truly revealed the heart of Jesus when she told Naomi, "I'll never leave you." Then by the hand of God and Naomi's advice, Ruth became part of the lineage of Christ, Ruth 3:3-4. I'll paraphrase Naomi's advice, "Ruth, honey, take a shower, put some perfume on and a nice little outfit. Go to the party and keep an eye on Boaz. When he's done celebrating and falls asleep, go lie beside him." Naomi helped Ruth show Boaz her affection. The two women saw God's hand moving and went with it. They needed each other. Then there's the time Jesus sent the 70 out 2 by 2 and they returned rejoicing saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name," and the Lord said, "I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven." They were not sent individually because they needed each other. Jesus knew that it multiplied their authority in the spiritual world. My personal favorite is the dynamic duo of Jonathan and David. Jonathan was every bit as anointed and spiritually powerful as David was. While David was still a young shepherd boy, Jonathan slew hundreds of valiant Philistines at one time while his armor-bearer followed. He was in line to be the next king and was probably taught by Samuel the prophet. God was with him, and when he saw David kill Goliath, Jonathan must have thought to himself, "I love this guy. He reminds me a lot of myself." Jonathan decided that if God wanted David to be king instead of himself, then so be it. He wasn't filled with jealousy as his father was, he loved David and wanted to help any way he could. They were two of the most valiant and fearless men to ever grace the pages of our sacred book. David said that the love he had for Jonathan surpassed that of a woman. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. If we can get to this place as Christians, no spiritual enemy can stop us. We need unity, and we need each other. We are God's spokesman. We are to be saying what God would if He were here. What are we not saying? What are we afraid of? If we do not speak the principles and desires of God, things will not get better, they'll get worse. Time is running out for our nation. The hourglass has just a few grains of sand left to fall. This is our call to arms. Like Paul Revere declaring, "The British are coming. The British are coming." To prepare a people for war, we must prepare to defend our country. Our parents fought for this nation as did their parents and their parents before them. How about us? Our Declaration of Independence was a declaration of war on our enemy, England. We need to declare our enemies. 1. Manipulation of our children's minds through biased teaching curricula. 2. Manipulation of our nation's opinion through biased news reporting. 3. Attacks on our commander-in-chief through planned, calculated, deceptive, and false accusations. Speak, declare, and expect God to appear. The Word of God.